Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today, we are kicking off Earth Week with our brand new series called Chew It Over, Rethinking Leftovers and Food Waste. And we're starting with a leftover challenge for you, Team All of It. The idea is to cut down on food waste at home, because the fact is the United States is the global leader in food waste. Americans throw out nearly 40 million tons of food every year, according to the Environmental Protection Agency. The EPA reports that most of this food is sent to landfills. In fact, food is the single largest component taking up space inside U.S. landfills. It makes up 22% of municipal solid waste. On the individual level, that's approximately 219 pounds of waste per person a year, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Food and Drug Administration. So this week, we want to get you thinking about reducing food waste, and today we're talking about using leftovers. Friend of the show and best-selling cookbook author Julia Tershin wrote a book on deliciously repurposing food. It's called Now and Again, Go-To Recipes, Inspired Menus, and Endless Ideas for Reinventing Leftovers. And Julia joins us now to share four recipes from her new cookbook, Simply Julia, 110 Easy Recipes for Healthy Comfort Food, and we want you to cook along with us. So there are four recipes. Roast chicken with onion gravy, stewed chickpeas with peppers and zucchini, ropa vieja, and red lentil soup dip. Listeners, we want you to select one of these recipes to make for dinner this week and then turn it into leftovers at least once. We want you to tell us how it goes. You send us some pictures, tag us on Instagram, and we'll check in with you at the end of the week and see how it went. We'll regram your pictures, too. The recipes are posted right now on our show page. We'll link to them on our Instagram, too, at All of It WNYC. Joining me now to talk about the leftover challenge and more is Julia Tershin. Julia, thanks for coming back.
Oh, Allison, thank you so much for having me. I love coming on your show, and you know how much I love talking about leftovers.
Hey, listeners, we want to hear from you. Which recipe do you think you're going to make this week if you've checked them out? Red lentil soup, ropa vieja, roast chicken with onion gravy, stewed chickpeas. Do you need some leftover guidance from Julia Tershin? Maybe you're looking at your refrigerator now and thinking, what can I make about with what's in there now? How are you getting creative with leftovers? Join the conversation, 646-435-7280, 646-435-7280. So in this series, we're talking about food waste, as well as food insecurity, too. You are a recipe developer, Julia, cookbook author. How do you try to curb food waste at home?
Sure. You know, one of the things I do is try and think about what my wife, Grace, and I, what we really enjoy eating, as opposed to what we think we should be eating, because I think that's something a lot of people do. I think they buy things they think they should be eating, and then they don't actually like them, so they don't eat them, and they end up throwing them away. So I think starting from that place of just, what do I actually like, is really valuable. I try to remember all the effort that goes into growing all the food that I so enjoy and, you know, creating it, and I try and not waste it. When I think about that, it really helps me and puts me in this place of sort of gratitude for all the people who made all the food happen. You know, I don't want to throw out someone's labor or, you know, their work. So that really helps me. And I also just really love leftovers, and I try to turn them into new things and try to keep the kitchen really exciting and also just do that in a way that feels really relaxed. So I think I would love to talk to you more about that today, because I think that's a really great way to avoid food waste.
What are some of the strategies that you've discovered when it comes to reducing food waste in terms of storage, in terms of portioning and things like that?
Well, I think one of the most underused and undervalued appliances that most people have in their kitchens is the freezer. I think the freezer is so useful. I think it's my most used appliance. And I freeze things in very small portions. So that looks like maybe putting, you know, some soup or chili or something like that, like one or two portions in a Ziploc bag, as opposed to a huge container that's going to take up a ton of space and it's going to take forever to defrost. And when I do something like that in a Ziploc bag, I actually lay it out flat in the freezer and let it freeze, you know, so it gets solid. And then you can, you know, file them, like almost like a filing cabinet. They'll stand up and they take up like no space, and you can hold all this stuff. And I think those smaller portions just make it a lot easier to pull something out. It's going to defrost quickly. You're not going to defrost more than you want and then, you know, be stuck with more that you're not sure what to do with. And do I refreeze this and, you know, end up throwing it out? So that kind of thing is really helpful. I also think ice cube trays are great for things like, you know, if you make like pesto or, I don't know, maybe like a great tomato sauce or something like that, and something you want to just have a little bit of. So that way you can freeze those cubes, pop those in a Ziploc or something, and then you can pull one out whenever you want to add just like a little bit of flavor to something. But again, not defrost everything.
Yeah, and if you use those silicone ice cube trays, they're really easy to pop
out.
Yeah,
those are great. Those are really super. Yeah, that's a good idea. I should get some of those. Thank you.
Just to prove that you walk the walk when you talk the talk, you were talking about earlier having gratitude for the people who are growing the food and understanding what it takes to make food. You're spending the rest of the year working on a vegetable farm in your town.
Yeah.
What's going to be growing there? What do you like about farming?
So grateful you brought this up. Yeah, I was hoping to be able to join you more this week, but unfortunately I can't because I will be at my new job. And yeah, I'm spending the rest of 2021 working about 10 minutes away from where I live at this wonderful farm called Long Season. And we grow amazing greens. We grow carrots, potatoes, onions. We'll grow tomatoes and zucchini, basically any vegetable you can think of. We're growing it. And I started last week, and I am just trying to stretch and drink water and keep up with everyone. And yes, I am really in touch with the labor that goes into growing really, you know, wonderful fresh food.
And you've been doing all kinds of volunteering work around food. You and your wife, Grace, have been volunteering at Angel Food East for years. Tell our listeners what kind of work those folks do.
Thanks again for asking about this. This is really kind. Yeah, Angel Food East is a small organization in Kingston, New York, which is close to where we live. There's organizations like this throughout the country, pretty much in every city and town. Wherever there are people that need to be fed, there's usually a place like this. And so what we do there is make a homemade meal that gets delivered to our homebound clients. And most of those clients are homebound. You know, it's a variety of reasons. It could be illness or, you know, ability or disability or whatever it might be. So what we're looking to do is make, you know, a meal very quickly. We're looking to put a lot of care and love into it. We're trying to make something very comforting and, you know, familiar, something that people will really be excited to eat. You know, a lot of clients are quite ill and, you know, they're taking medication that require, you know, food to be, you know, eaten at the same time. And a lot of people don't have an appetite. So we're trying to make something that they're really happy to eat. And we're also trying to pack, you know, tons of vegetables and tons of, you know, fresh things with nutrients and all that. So we're trying to do what I think many home cooks are trying to do, make like a healthy, fresh, comforting meal, you know, in not a long time and on a budget. And so that's what happens there. And for me, that puts me really in touch with this idea of just healthy comfort food, and also just makes me feel, again, super connected to my community, which to me is like one of the most important parts of food.
My guest is Julia Tershin. We are talking about food waste, not having food waste, I should say, as well as food insecurity all this week as part of our celebration and recognition of Earth Week. We do want to hear from you. Which recipe do you think you're going to make in our challenge this week? The challenge is to make the recipe and then at least make one set of leftovers, document it, tell us about it, show us it. Which one do you think you're going to make? Roast chicken with onion gravy, stewed chickpeas with peppers and zucchini, ropa vieja, or red lentil soup? Their recipes are all on our website, and we'll link to them via Instagram. Or maybe you just need some leftover guidance from Julia Tershin. That's always good. Or maybe you have a hack yourself. Give us a call, 646-435-7280, 646-435-7280. We have a call regarding your freezer, your pitch for the freezer, Julia. Let's go to Jackie on line 3, who has a question about freezing things. Hi, Jackie.
Hi.
Hey, Jackie, turn down your radio. You're on the air right now with Julia Tershin.
I turn it down?
Yeah, just talk on the phone. Hey, you're on the air right now. Julia, we can hear you.
Hi, Jackie. Okay. Hello, how are you?
Great. What's
good,
on your mind?
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So I'm on the Upper East Side, just in terms of whereabouts. And my question today is, and I love leftovers, by the way, so I'm so excited to hear you all, is what's the best way to freeze meat, raw and or cooked? And the other is, do you have a recommendation for using those vacuum sealers in freezing meat?
That's a great question. So I'm going to answer in reverse, if that's okay. I think those vacuum sealers are wonderful. I think they work really well. And if anyone listening doesn't know what that means, it's these devices that are made for home use, and you basically have like a plastic bag and it sucks out all the air, which is great because one, your food is going to take up less space in the freezer, which is great. And also air is something you don't want around your food in the freezer as much as possible. You know, so pushing the air out of something like, you know, a Ziploc or any freezer safe bag is really great. But having one of those vacuum sealers does that job so well. So that's a great idea if that's something you have, you know, room for and budget for. And in terms of cooking meat, in terms of freezing meat that's already been cooked, my advice for that is to freeze meat that's been cooked, like that's been stewed or braised, anything with like a little bit of liquid, mostly because I find that that just defrosts and heats up better than something like freezing, I don't know, grilled steak or something like that. I think if there's something that's been long cooked and kind of tender, I'm thinking like a brisket or pulled pork or something like that. I just think those things freeze really well if they have that kind of extra little sauce. I think of it as like a little buffer. Mm-hmm. And when I freeze those things, you know, if I had one of those vacuum sealers, I would totally use one of those, but I don't. So I just put it into like a freezer bag, push out all the excess air. And the most important thing when freezing, I think, is to label it. I think so often we put something in the freezer and in the moment, you know, we know exactly what it is. But when we pull it out a few weeks or a few months later, it's easy to forget. So labeling it, you know, put the date on it just so you remember when you put it in. That's really, really helpful. So I actually keep a Sharpie marker in the drawer where I keep my containers and Ziplocs. So, but freezing meat that you haven't cooked yet, I would say, again, if you have the vacuum sealer, use that. If you don't, I would first wrap it in a little bit of plastic wrap or parchment, wrap it really tight as you can, and then put it in a freezer safe bag just to be able to protect it a little bit from just any, you know, freezer burn or anything like that.
Jackie, good luck. Let's go to line two and Debbie. People have really honed in on your freezing suggestions, Julia. Debbie's calling from New Jersey. Hi, Debbie. Thanks for calling all
of
you.
Hi. I have a few of the practices I do with freezing. One is I put the leftovers in reusable containers, small reusable containers, similar to what you were talking about, and then I use them for my lunches. Very easy. In the morning when I'm getting ready for work, I pull it out of the freezer, throw it in my lunch bag, and heat it up, ready for lunch. And even now working at home, I pull them out for lunch. So quite often with any leftovers that we have, I do that to prepare lunches in advance that way. And secondly, for my children, I would often, when they were small and they had meal preferences, I would be having the leftovers in the refrigerator that I could then pull out. If they did not like a particular meal, they could have the leftovers of another meal that they preferred that was from earlier in the week. I would also, in order to be safe about that, I marked on top of the containers with masking tape, and I would mark the date that we used that meal, so I was never giving them very old food. But anyway, so that was that's the comments about reusable. And also, rather than I'm very conscious of plastic bags and all that, so I've been using reusable containers, not Ziplocs. I mean, that's entirely, I guess, a personal preference of what's available, but I use reusable containers. But then another question. I wondered more about the co-op type farm situation where she works. Being that I'm in Ocean County, New Jersey, are there those type of facilities scattered around, or how would I find out about that?
That's a great question, Julia. How would someone find out if they wanted to do the kind of work you're doing at the farm?
Sure. Yeah. You know, the way I got into this job at the farm was through actually volunteering a little bit at this farm and at a few others in my area. I will say I also live in an area where there are a lot of farms, so that was pretty easy for me to find. I just ended up at the farms belonging to the people that I had shopped at like the farmer's market for many years. So that's how I found my way to the place where I'm working now. But I would suggest doing that, going to your local farmer's market and just paying attention to where the farms come from. It's usually like on their sign at the farmer's market. You can ask them, and farmers know other farmers. So if you're talking to someone who's maybe not in your area, you can ask them if they know someone who is. I think also just a good old Google of your zip code and, you know, local farms, that kind of thing. A lot of places do offer volunteer opportunities, and I think a lot of places, you know, might be open to that if someone calls them. So even if it's not a formal thing they offer, I think, you know, stopping by and helping out. I think another really, really wonderful thing to do is to see if there's any farm programs through any schools in your area or something like a YMCA. I know in Kingston, near where I live, a couple hours outside of New York City, there is an amazing, amazing program through the Kingston YMCA called the Kingston YMCA Farm Project. And it's a teen employment program. They farm about an acre behind the YMCA. It's like an old abandoned lot. They turned into this amazing farm. They take volunteers all the time. So I think there's things like that in many communities. And that's great. It puts you, you know, in touch with the young people in your community. It's really, really wonderful. So I'm so happy you asked. And I also agree with everything you said about the freezer. I totally agree.
My guest is Julia Tershin. We are going to continue to discuss leftovers and our leftover challenge, specifically the recipe that Julia has so graciously allowed us to post on our website. Stay with us. This is All of It. This is All of It, and in honor of Earth Week, we have a challenge for you guys. Chew It Over, Rethinking Leftovers and Food Waste. We are starting with a leftover challenge. Our ride-along is Julia Tershin, cookbook author. And Julia, you've been so kind to let us have four recipes from your new book, Simply Julia, to be part of this challenge. The challenge is, listeners, that you could make one of these four recipes and then at least once turn them into leftovers. Take pictures, post them on Instagram, tag us, tweet to us, and then we'll check in with you at the end of the week and see how it goes. Okay, so recipe number one, Julia, is roast chicken with onion gravy. This is one of those recipes inspired by your volunteer work with Angel Food East. The onion gravy doesn't use any flour or roux or, as you say, anything else that usually causes gravy anxiety. So how does it come together?
Yeah, gravy anxiety is a real thing. This recipe is so easy. It's so wonderful. And it just takes one skillet. So you basically cut up a big onion or, you know, two small onions, whatever. And then you take a whole chicken that's cut into pieces. You could also use just chicken breast or chicken thighs, whatever you like. I think the goal here is to be really flexible. But basically, you roast your chicken on top of this bed of onions. You dot a little butter on the chicken, a little salt and pepper, really simple. And then when the chicken is roasted and it's cooked through, you put the skillet that the onions and the chicken were in, you put that right on your stovetop. And to that skillet, you add a little bit of chicken stock, a little bit of mustard, and a little bit of sour cream. And this all comes together to make these wonderful sort of pan juices. It turns them into this wonderful onion gravy. And it just kind of stretches this meal out, because the best thing when you have a lot of gravy is to add, you know, a little rice or potatoes or noodles or some toast or something like that to your meal, you know, so you can sop that all up. So it's just a really easygoing meal, and it also makes for wonderful leftovers.
I was going to say, what could day two be from the roast chicken and onion gravy?
Day two, you could shred the chicken, you know, you could pull it off the bone, and you could maybe add a few more vegetables to that extra gravy and chicken. You could, you know, dice up some sweet potatoes or squash. You could throw some greens in there, maybe some frozen peas, that kind of thing. And you could eat that just on its own. It would be great. Or again, put that on top of some noodles or rice or something like that. You could turn it into like a little bit of a casserole. Really, really flexible. You could turn that shredded chicken into, you know, tacos, or, you know, use it inside of like a quesadilla or something like that. Anything goes. It's really just a super comforting dish.
Our next recipe, your next recipe, is stewed chickpeas with peppers and zucchinis, a great vegetarian option. And it seems like this is quite adaptable. What goes into the sauce and the stew of it?
Sure. I also love thinking of it as our recipe. I'm totally into that.
Okay.
And I'm so happy to be sharing these all. So yeah, this is also inspired by the work we do at Angel Soup, because it uses up summer produce, things like zucchini and peppers, which are, you know, available all year long. But at Angel Food East, we usually get big donations of these things in the summer. If you live anywhere near someone who gardens or farms zucchini, you know that when it's in season, you can't pay someone to take it. It just grows and grows. So this is a great way to use it up. So you basically, it's a one pot, totally vegan meal. You cook some onions, zucchini, peppers, put all of that in a pot with some really flavorful things like tomato paste, dried oregano, tons of fresh garlic. You add some canned chickpeas. You know, they're already cooked. They're really affordable. They're really filling. And you just let that stew together. It takes very little time. And then you can serve that on top of, you know, couscous or pasta or quinoa, basically any grain. You could also add a little vegetable stock to it and just turn it into a soup. That's really nice. But the thing that makes this really special is the sauce on top. And the sauce is so, so simple. It's just a little bit of freshly chopped parsley. It could be any herb, a little fresh lemon juice. And then I use vegan mayonnaise to keep this a vegan option. Mm-hmm. But if you're not vegan, you can just use regular mayonnaise. Or you could use anything creamy, like a little yogurt or sour cream. And a pinch of salt, that's it. So you have your mayo, lemon, parsley, salt. This mixture is so good. It's like better than you would think it would be, because it's just such simple ingredients. And it's good on everything. It's great on this, but you could also drizzle that on, I don't know, roast chicken or other, you know, grilled vegetables, whatever you like. It's so, so good and versatile. And it just makes this dish feel kind of bright. And it also adds a little richness, you know, because otherwise it's just vegetables and chickpeas, which is delicious, but there's not much fat there. And I just believe every meal should have a little fat in it, because fat is delicious and it fills you up.
We have a caller who can follow up on your statement about how it's, at certain times of the year, there's just so much of a certain kind of vegetable that you don't know what to do with it. We've got Rosemary, who's got some advice about tomatoes. Hi, Rosemary. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, Allison. Hi, Julia.
Hi.
So this is, if you have leftover either grape tomato, any small tomato, like the grape tomatoes, another small one that I forget the name of, and they're going bad, you just put some olive oil in a saucepan, you know, a bit of olive, you know, maybe a quarter of an inch, and you pierce or cut the tomatoes. You just put them in there with some salt. I also add a little chipotle pepper because I like that flavor, just a little bit. And I just let it simmer for maybe 10, 15, maybe 20, depending on how thick I want it. And then I use a potato masher to get it, you know, to just mash it down. And it's the most delicious, quick tomato sauce. And I'll either, you know, if I'm not ready to have it on pasta right then, I'll just freeze it. And it's really delicious.
What a great, easy, quick hack. Thanks so much for calling in, Rosemary. All right, we've got two more recipes on our leftover challenge, courtesy of Julia Tertian, 8th Avenue, Ropa Vieja. This is an homage to a great restaurant that used to be in this fine city, La Taza del Oro, closed 6 years or so. So what was the inspiration to recreate this 8th Avenue, Ropa Vieja?
Had you ever been to the restaurant when it was open?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. It was an institution.
Oh, yes.
So I grew up like around the corner from La Taza del Oro. And I actually ended up in my like early 20s living back in that same building, which was sort of funny. And so I got to revisit this place that I went to when I was a kid. It was just a really great place. And one of the things I loved so much was their Ropa Vieja, which is like a stewed beef dish. It's such a heartwarming dish. It tastes like something like a grandma would make, which to me is just the best compliment about any type of food. And I wanted to recreate it because this is something that meant a lot to me when I was a kid and meant a lot to me, you know, in the early part of being an adult, which, you know, I'm not really sure if I am, but I'm trying. But anyway, I digress. So the recipe is so easy. This is a great thing if you're new to cooking, because you cannot mess this up at all. You just basically put a bunch of stuff in a big pot and put it into the oven and just try and remember it a few hours later. That's it. So the things that go into the pot are just really flavorful things. So some onions, some garlic, some canned tomatoes, and then this really interesting mixture, a little bit of mustard, some raisins, and some olives. And this adds, this is like a traditional Cuban mixture. I did not come up with this at all. This is just, you know, an homage to something I really love. But that combination of mustard, raisin, and olive, it's like sweet and salty, like a little briny, just these sort of deep flavors. It's so good. It's like one of these things where you take a bite and you're like, why is this so good? And it's just like this interesting combo. So basically you mix all that stuff together and you make this flavorful bed for the meat to roast on. So I use a chuck roast for this, which is just like a muscle of beef that has like a lot of fat running through it. So when you cook any meat for a long time, it's nice to have something that has fat because that fat's going to keep it tender. And that's when you're going to get that sort of melt in your mouth texture. A little cumin and salt and pepper are the seasoning. And yeah, you just cover it and let it go in the oven. And a few hours later, this, you know, tough piece of meat is going to turn into something you can just, you know, pull apart with two forks. It is so good. I am like drooling thinking about this. It's so delicious.
And our last one is red lentil soup dip. Is this soup or dip?
Well, this is funny. So basically, this was inspired by, you know, so many of my recipes have stories like the one I just told you. You know, this restaurant I loved when I was growing up, and it's, you know, very sentimental. This recipe is less sentimental. This was just sort of funny. One day, a few years ago, I had made red lentil soup. It's something I love to eat. I put a container in the fridge, and I didn't follow my own advice, meaning I didn't label it. And, you know, the next day I was really hungry. I was like in the middle of a few things and I just did the thing we all do. You know, it's you're standing in front of the fridge and you're hungry and you can't even get something to a plate, right? You're just like eating out of the fridge. And I had some, I think it was like crackers or something. And I was like, oh, hummus. We have hummus in the fridge. Great. Quick, easy snack. So I'm dipping my crackers into what I thought was hummus. And I was just dipping it into cold lentil soup. And I realized it because I was like, wait, this tastes different. But I was like, this is actually delicious. And I thought like, oh, a really well-spiced lentil soup, when it's cold, it's the texture of a dip. And, you know, hummus is just pureed chickpeas. So why not have some, you know, soft lentils. So I purposely turned it into a dip in this recipe in Simply Julia. I basically just cook it with a little bit less liquid than you would with a soup. But it's so good. It's got a little coconut oil, which adds such a, you know, warm, wonderful flavor and wonderful spices and red lentils, which cook really quickly and they kind of fall apart. And then I put some coconut milk. Again, this is a totally vegan option if that, you know, is important to you. And if not, you just get the wonderful flavor of coconut. You know, it's a win-win for everyone. And it's just so good. And then the really funny thing is if you have leftovers of this, you can add some, you know, vegetable or chicken stock to it and you can have, you know, red lentil soup.
Win, win, win. Okay, everybody, you heard the four recipes. Roast chicken and onion gravy, stewed chickpeas with peppers and zucchini, ropa vieja, and red lentil soup. This is all part of our Chew It Over, Rethinking Food Waste and Leftovers. The Leftover Challenge, everybody. Pick one of those recipes, cook it, repurpose it at least once, send us on Instagram pictures of it as well as your final product and your leftovers. Tag us, tag Julia, and we'll check back with you on Friday. Julia Tertian, thank you so much for the recipes and for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And if anyone has any ideas or questions they want to ask me on Instagram, I would, you know, love to answer them. And I'm just so excited about this. So thank you. And I hope you have a wonderful day, Allison.
You too. Happy farming, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I'll have to send you a care package.
Take care.